Professor Hunsinger talked about the importance of bearing witness around this issue. And I wanted to note that just yesterday, Kathy Kelly, who knows who Kathy Kelly is here? I mean, okay, good. Kind of someone who we all wish we could be or should be. She just started her 3-month sentence in federal prison for protesting at the Whitman Air Force Base in Missouri, where there's a squadron of drone pilots. This is what she said in an interview this past week before she started her sentence. "We wanted to bring their grievances," there being the people in Afghanistan that she had worked with, "we wanted to bring their grievances to the commander at Whitman. So I crossed a line onto the base. A symbolic action for people in Afghanistan is breaking bread together. So I carried a loaf of bread and a letter to the commander asking how many people were killed by Whitman Air Force Base on that day. I took one step or maybe two over the line, then I was arrested." So there's one act of bearing witness. So I was asked to talk about Peace Church position on drones. And I'm a Mennonite. And as a member of a historic Peace Church, I imagine, you all can probably imagine that our position on drone warfare is obvious and a little boring. We're against war in all forms, against all forms of violence. And we're always attentive to how our lives are implicated in violences we didn't notice before. So please tell us when we're being violent. We need to know. So when it comes to weaponized drones, we say the same thing we've said about guns and tanks and bombs. The Lancaster Mennonite Conference, their bishop board, one of the largest judicatories or regional bodies in our denomination, passed a statement last year on drone warfare. So even though we're against and they're against all forms of war, they thought drone warfare was something that needed to be singled out. In the statement, they start by quoting Article 22 of our Mennonite Confession of Faith, which says, "Mennonite Church USA is a denomination that remains committed to the belief that participation in war is contrary to the will of God." That's only the starting point for their statement. They go on to explain how drones are an especially troubling mutation of warfare technologies. So this summer, this Lancaster resolution is being proposed for affirmation by our whole denomination, the denomination as a whole. If it passes, Mennonite Church USA will be a decidedly anti-drone Christian group, speaking with one voice against drone warfare. That's how this issue is playing out in one Peace Church tradition. I could say more about all of that, the processes of how resolutions get passed, but it's full of church politics and it's boring, and I'm sure none of you want to hear that. I also was talking to Brian and Nathan this morning, raise your hands over here, talking about the Church of the Brethren. They actually passed a statement against drones 2 years ago. So I spent some time reading it. I haven't thought about it too much yet. But I mean, it's a powerful statement. So if you're looking for a model in your churches, in your denominations, in your synagogues, in your mosques, in your religious tradition, I would say talk to Brian and Nathan and take a look at their resolution. So that was 2 years ago they passed it. All right, so for now, I'd rather take us in another direction. I want to talk about drones as demons, a kind of demon, which was already mentioned earlier this morning by Paul, as spirits of the air. I thought I was going to be the only one talking about demons at this conference, but I'm glad to see someone else thought about making the connection. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That's from the New Testament, from Ephesians 6. It's an important passage for members of the Peace Church tradition because it's a verse that makes clear that we actually do battle, but without doing violence to human beings, to flesh and blood. We are involved in a struggle, it says in Ephesians, as we work for peace. And it's a struggle against spirits of evil, enemies in the sky, it says. And those enemies are what have been called demons in the Christian tradition. From the New Testament and through the Middle Ages, spirits have been thought of as made of matter, material formations. Spirits are not the opposite of the physical. They're just a different kind of physical. Demons are material. They can look like shadows. They smell and make sounds. The noises of the apparitions were terrible. That's what Anthony the Great said in the Egyptian desert, a 3rd century monk, as he battled demons in the wilderness. Their noises were a terror, he said, and their outbursts of fury ferocious. In the 11th century in France, a group of priests witnessed spirits fall from the sky into their group. Suddenly, the account says, they saw descend among them a demon in the likeness of some sort of little beast. Dante, in his Divine Comedy, repeated popular notions about demons when he described them as sounding like sighs in the sky. Spirits who announce themselves from the sky with sounds, with an echoing sigh, he said. You can hear them before you see them. I can't sleep at night because I hear them making that sound, that noise. That's how a man from a village in Pakistan, from the region of Waziristan, that's how he talks about US drones. When I hear the drones making that drone sound, he continues, I just turn on my light and sit there looking at the light. The drones are all over my brain. A representative from that same community talks about the suffering of his people, people who are being tormented by the spirits of the air. My people, he says, often complain that they wake up in the middle of the night screaming because they are hallucinating about drones. As they talk about drones, as these people talk about drones, the way they sound, what they do to their minds, how they affect their lives, as they talk about their lives with drones in the sky, I can't help but notice the resonances with how Christians through the ages have talked about demons. Flying things in the air, horrors in the heavens, the hum of death evoking panic, possessing minds, screaming terror in people's brains. Children have lost their mental balance. They are afraid all the time, says Nabil from northern Waziristan. My nephew is always scared and crying, running towards his mother saying the drone could come. People are mentally disturbed as a result of the drone flights, says a resident of Esso Khail, a frequent site of drone attacks in Pakistan. We can't sleep because of the plane's loud sound. Even if they don't attack, we still have the fear of attack in our mind. When I go to the mosque to pray, says Saqib, we have the fear of drone attack in the back of our mind. Because of the noise, another man reports, we're psychologically disturbed. Women, men, and children, 24 hours. A person is in stress and there is pain in his head. Pay attention to the language that they're using. Pain in my head, terror in my brain, fear in the back of our minds. Those are some of the effects of drone warfare, spiritual forces of evil infiltrating people's bodies and terrorizing them from the inside. In his 17th century manual, Francisco Guazzo diagnosed some of these demonic symptoms. It's from 17th century. If the demon is in the head, he wrote, the person feels the keenest pains in his head. If the demon is in the heart or lungs, he causes panting and palpitation. If the demon is more towards the stomach, he provokes vomiting. A psychiatrist in Waziristan reports about cases of what he calls hysterical reactions in his patients. Physical symptoms without a real basis, he says. Aches and pains and vomiting. The same symptoms Francisco Guazzo observed in the 17th century. These symptoms of drones, of demons I'm calling them, are about one thing. And as we've heard over and over again yesterday and today, they're about death, the power of death, the threat of death. Karl Barth, the great Swiss theologian, I figure since here in Princeton we should talk about Karl Barth, Sonsinger. Hopefully this is not an example of how not to read Karl Barth. Karl Barth said that demons were the concretization of nothingness. Nothingness concretized. Demons as the materialization of death, always invading and always attacking. The drones are like the angels of death, says Nazir Ghul, a shopkeeper in Miran Shah. Only they know when and where they will strike. Here's an account of a drone strike from a couple years ago in Zawi Sidgi. It's the work of the angels of death, as the shopkeeper said. When we went to where the missiles hit to help people, we saw a very horrible scene. Body parts were scattered everywhere. I saw bodies without heads and bodies without hands or legs. Everyone in the hut was cut to pieces. The bodies were burnt, and it was not possible to recognize them. As we've already heard today from a couple people, US drone pilots call this a bug splat. But people on the ground call it hell on earth. If you're looking for language within the Christian tradition, language that helps us understand the devastation of drone warfare, then you should be using the discourse of the demonic. Drones are not a metaphor for demons are not a metaphor for weaponized drones, not just a helpful analogy. No, I'm saying drones are demons. And if that sounds too absurd to you, remember that the US military has already invoked the demonic in drone projects. They've named their drone after a demon, the MQ-9 Reaper. The emblem of the drone is a picture of the Grim Reaper, the angel of death, firing, of course, hellfire missiles from the heavens. Drone warfare is demonic warfare. The military has already said as much. Now, I know that there are important differences between Christian and Islamic theologies of spirits, but I think there are some resonances here as well when we talk about drones and spirits, because I know of at least one Muslim group that has linked drones to the world of spirits. The National Tunisian Defense Company, Tunisia Aero Technologies, has plans to add another drone to their arsenal, a helicopter drone. And they're calling it a jinn. For all of you who don't know very much about Islam, jinns are not quite, well, they're not angels, nor are they what Christians would call demons, but somewhere in between, some kind of ambiguous spirit. One place in the Quran, jinns are described as scorching fire. Tunisia Aero Technologies knows this tradition. In early Christianity, when Jesus was resurrected from the cross, they said that he did battle against the demons in the air. Resurrection was imagined as a victory over spiritual forces of evil hovering in the sky. Here's how Athanasius of Alexandria put it in the 4th century. The air is the sphere of the devil, the domain of the prince of the air. But the Lord came to overthrow the devil and to purify the air. For being thus lifted up from the cross, Jesus cleansed the air from the evil of the enemy. Again, that passage from Ephesians. For our struggle is not against the enemy. Our struggle is not against enemies of flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. As I was preparing this talk, I was tempted to invite us here at the end to perform an exorcism with you all, to finally be able to do some real work at this conference instead of all this talking, something practical. But I don't know how to do an exorcism. They didn't teach me that in my seminary. One of the faults of the Duke Divinity School education, you don't learn about exorcisms. So instead, I will remind us what Jesus said. To struggle against some demons requires prayer and fasting. Or as Imam Sultan said last night, quoting the lyrics of Karim Salama's song, we can bend iron with our prayers. Thanks.